Well, good morning and welcome all to Word of God Church and the Julius C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministry Sunday, Sabbath Day Worship Service. And we greet you in the spirit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, who is now and forevermore. Deaconess Freeman, if you would lead us in prayer, we'll get started with our service today.
Let's bow heads. Lord Jesus, may your Holy Spirit surround us and rejuvenate us this morning as we once again gather to worship you. We thank you for another day, Lord, to serve you and your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Father, we are so thankful that you have allowed us to awaken this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
And for giving us direction, peace, and hope as we journey toward your kingdom. Lord, let us count it as all joy for the trials and tribulations we face. We know that we are about to go to another level of spiritual maturity as they teach us to put our trust in you more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, Romans 5:1 tells that these tests, trials and tribulations are to test our faith, our obedience, and our reliance on you. For they produce perseverance, character, hope. James 1:2-4 states that every day we will encounter trials and tribulation and should rely on you to help us overcome them.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, help us to be like Paul, who found contentment in your blessings. For contentment is not an escape, but a peace in the midst of the storm. When we are out of order with you, Father, then we have discontentment.
Well,
Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless the Word of God Church and the Julius C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministry. Grant each of us the courage, the strength, and confidence to do whatever is necessary to spread the good news and bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, help us to keep our armor well all, because we know that our faith is constantly under attack, and we must constantly defend it. Lord, we pray for you to remove any distractions that would prevent us from running the race of life that you meant for us. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run the race that is before us, never give up. Lord Jesus, remove anything from our lives that will hold us back, such as guilt, resentment, shame, bitterness, past hurt, unforgiveness, and bad decisions. Remove, Lord, the sin of unbelief from us, for it will cut our journey short. We pray that we don't become like the Israelites who let fear grip their heart as Moses led them to the promised land. Father, even though they knew that you were with them, you provided food for them, you showed them your holy power, they still let fear overtake them. Instead of trusting you, Lord, they turned from you and all the evidence of your faithfulness. What should have been a faith to the promised land turned to a death march in the wilderness. We thank you for reminding us that unbelief keeps us from victory. We pray that each member of the Word of God Church and the Julius C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministry trust and obey you. It's the only way to be happy in you. Lord, continue to bless Bishop Cuff with wisdom and knowledge. We pray that you continue to anoint, guide, and protect him from all the challenges he faces because of his love for you. Bless this wife, dear Lord, and surround her with your Holy Spirit as she goes about her day. Thank you, Father, for giving her a kind heart and a tender spirit.
Yes.
Father, fill their home with your presence and your peace. We pray for our soldiers, Lord Jesus. Let them know that you love them, Father, and you're only a prayer away. Jesus, thank you for strengthening and giving them hope to those who are away from their loved ones, for those who are in a war zone, for those who are just entering the military, and for those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. Thank you for their safe return to Brother Joseph, Father. We give you honor and we give you praise for his rejoining our fellowship.
Yes, listen.
Lord, this morning we ask that you look in mercy on us and hear our prayers and our supplications. Father, please manifest yourself in ways that we have never experienced and allow our joys to be fulfilled and our prayers to be answered. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. Yes, sir. Praise be to God. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we got a real downpour going on here, but we give God the glory. That's good water, the flowers, and help the food to grow. Amen.
Amen.
And wash some of the pollen off of our cars. You see, everything that you see, you have to give God glory.
Amen.
No matter what condition you find yourself in this morning, God is still on the throne, and he sits high and he looks low. He has all power in his unchanging hands.
Amen.
He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our friend. He's our doctor in a sick room. He's the one that we call on when we can't call on anyone else.
Amen.
He's the one that allows us to lie down and allows us to rise up to see another day. No matter what you find yourself in this morning, you know that he is in the midst of it. And so we give him all praise and honor this morning. The church say amen.
Amen.
This morning I'm going back into Proverbs chapter 4. In the series of the issues of life are out of the heart. This is part 2, and the title is Sitting in Your Lonely Room. Proverbs 4:23-27 reads as follows. Above all else, guard your hearts, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth and keep correct talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze on directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, hallelujah, and take only ways that are firm. Do not sway to the right or to the left, and keep your feet from evil. We pray God's blessings on his word that you may be enlightened. And I ask now that he allows me to deliver this message to you this morning. That should uplift you and encourage you, for God is always with us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I don't recall, I don't know if many of you recall a song by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes that was called Miss You. It was recorded in 1972 by Philadelphia International Records. It is without a shadow of a doubt one of my favorite songs because the young man on the song is in a terrible situation. He has lost his girlfriend, God bless you, and his son that he had by her. And he has come to the realization that he's in deep, deep trouble. And the song goes in part, and I'll read it to you. I wouldn't dare attempt to sing it, although I think I could. It says, oh, 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 I miss you. I miss you, baby, I miss you. I miss you, I miss you. I swear I do. I miss you. Ever since you went away, I'm doing nothing but thinking, thinking with my head in my hand. I want you to take note of trying to determine and keep focus on some of the things that he's saying. For example, he's saying that I think and I think with my head in my hands. That means he's thinking negative things. He's thinking things that are going to take him down this path that you'll hear the rest of the way through this song. You've been away from me so long, and I just don't think I can carry on, so I start drinking, drinking each and every day. Are you getting this? Trying to drown all my loneliness away. I don't forget a day. Fall down on my knees, wishing for your return, and oh, I'm hurting. You see, he should have fell on his knees and started praying, but he was still operating out of the futility of his own mind. He says, of course, oh, 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 I miss you. I miss you, baby. You can look at my eyes and see that a great big man like me has been crying and crying and crying my heart and soul out to you. Sitting in my lonely room, filled with nothing but gloom, I feel like dying, dying. Hey, help me. I'm dying. 'Cause ever since the day you left, I don't know what to do with myself. Oh, I wish you would return. Oh, how I'm hurting. And it goes on and on and on and on. It's one of the longer songs that they have on that album. And the bottom line is that he is at his wit's end. And the bottom line is that he still does not have her back. He offered to her that he is now working and he hit the lottery and that he can make up things to her. In other words, he jumps into materialism to see if that will work. And the end result, as the song ends, he's still saying, "I miss you, baby." It says that I know that he can give you the world, but he can't love you like I do. So the end result is that no matter what he said, what he's done, he still doesn't have her and he still misses her. And so this morning I want to use as a subject title, Sitting in Your Lonely Room. You see, church, the issue of life sometimes causes us to be in a lonely room of the mind. Can I get a witness? But the text instructs us to guard your heart and your mind from such thoughts that cause you to take the route of depression and doubt and not the route of happiness and trust in God's word. Can I get a witness? And so this morning, by the grace of God, and his Holy Spirit, I hope to provide you with God's words and view about sitting in a lonely room, that in case somehow you find yourself there, and I submit to you that we all sit in our lonely rooms from time to time. I don't know about you, but I can attest to it that I've sat in my room many a nights listening at that song. And when Connie was with Priscilla, I listened at it tearfully. And the end result was that the Lord spoke to me as clear as a bell. And he said, get out of that lonely room.
Amen.
Come out of that lonely room. For you're not in there by yourself. I'm with you. I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
And I thought about the words to the song that I had been listening at for the last 30 or 40 years. And realized that if somebody had told his brother about Christ, if somebody had showed him the truth, the way, and the life, he wouldn't have been at the point where he said he was going to take his life. He would have had hope and joy and peace, and as Priscilla just prayed, contentment. No matter what your condition is, no child of God has to be lonely.
Amen.
I don't care what happens to you. So this morning, I'm going to give you about 6 points that will help you through this crisis that this young man found himself in. He had no way to turn. He did not have light. He was operating out of total darkness. And darkness kept taking him down, 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 down. If you have that record, listen at it, and you'll hear him go from the state of the mind to the physical state and to the material. He still is lost and lonely. My heart goes out to those who are in that same predicament this morning. Church, there are many things that will cause us to go down, and there are many things that cause us to be lonely. You can actually be in the presence of 15, 20, 30 people and be totally lonely.
Amen.
You can have something that is entered into your mind that causes you not to be with them, but be in your lonely room. And filled with nothing but gloom. And I stop by to tell you that our Father says that is a lie straight from hell. No child of the King has to ever be lonely. Doesn't have to be sad and downtrodden and trampled over. Because our Father says, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
So I don't know who this sermon's for. It might be someone who will hear it on the tape. But I stop by to tell you that you got to come out of that lonely room. There is no loneliness in Christ. There is no sadness. There is no sorrow that he can't overcome. For he was the lamb that was sacrificed for us. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
See, the Lord is never failing his people. You see, he's the one who will always be next to us. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Do not be afraid. Hallelujah. Do not be discouraged, church. God's word stands that we must be strong
when we're in this lonely room. Come on with me. You must let your mind not wander into these states that I'm going to try to cover with you this morning, because it's straight from the devil.
Amen.
Lord has got our back. He says that he would. And if you believe and trust in him, you have no choice but to come out of your lonely room.
Amen.
When we're lonely because someone that we love has died, God is with us, church. Psalm 23 and 4 says, even when you walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close by my side.
Yeah.
Guarding and guiding all the way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen, church, we must come out of our lonely rooms. If parents reject us, God never will. Church, we must come out of the lonely room. Psalm 27 and 10 says, If my father and mother shall abandon me, you will always welcome me and comfort me. I have no more right to go into my lonely room because my mother abandoned me. My father is with me. He said he'd be with me. I know he's with me. He'll never leave me, and nor will he forsake me.
Amen.
And I give him praise this morning. And somebody needs to hear this morning. God, it will not leave us orphanage. He will not let you be a bastard and not be blessed by him.
Amen.
Church, we must come out of our lonely room. John 14 and 18 says, no, I will not abandon you or leave you as an orphan in this storm. I will come to you. Listen to his words. He said he's always with us. We can be in the midst of a storm, and he's not going to leave us.
Amen.
He's got our back, I'm trying to tell you. We're never totally alone, church. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Come out of your lonely room. Come out of it, I tell you. The young brother in the song, I Miss You, said, you've been away from me so long, and I just don't think I can carry on. So I start drinking each and every day, drinking at night, trying to drown all my loneliness away. I don't forget a day, fall down on my knees wishing for your return. Oh, I hurt. That is an anxiety that you and I do not have to possess. You see, anxieties are something that we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb. You see, worry doesn't accomplish anything. Psalm 37 and 8 says, stop your anger. Turn off your wrath and don't fret and worry. It only leads to harm. There's no need to worry, church. God has everything under control. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33 says, so don't worry at all about having enough food and clothing. Why be like the heathens? For they take pride in all these things and are deeply concerned about them. But you have Heavenly Father already knows perfectly what we will need. And he will give them to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to live. Did you hear that? God will always be with us. Jesus is as close as within our hearts.
Amen.
And we've got to come out of that lonely room of anxiety. We cannot remove worry until we replace it with something better. Prayer is what you got to replace it with, church. When anxiety sneaks up on you, when rears its ugly hair, the word tells us that we got to pray.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answer. If you do this, you will be experiencing God's peace, which is far more wonderful than any human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet, and that the rest of you trust in Christ Jesus. We've got to tell anxiety to take a vacation from our minds and from our hearts. You see, church, worry is a waste of time. Luke chapter 12, verse 25 and 26 says, what's the use of worry? What good does it do? Will it add a single day to your life? Of course not. And if worry can't even do such little things as that, what's the use of worrying over big things? I stopped by to tell you that anxiety and worry and fear are not the tools that are employed by God's children. And this morning, Deaconess Freeman prayed about contentment. You see, our character in this song said, "Oh, I, and I mean, it's obvious where he's hurting. I miss you, baby. Without you, baby, there's ain't nothing further. He has no future," he's saying. "I miss you, baby. I miss you. He is indicating that he does not have any contentment. He don't know which way to turn. He is relying on his mind that is not a mind that is set from God. His mind is the mind of most of the people on this planet. It has no contentment. It allows darkness to permeate in its being and exist under that condition. Darkness is not equivalent to contentment. So we've got to come out of our room of not having contentment. You see, contentment is a gift from God, church, and it grows out of his perspective on life. Listen to Philippians 4, 12, and 13. I know what it is to be needy, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Hear his words. He says you can do everything through him who strengthens you. You can have contentment and peace even when you're faced with storms, I tell you. Amen. Contentment grows out of humility and trust in God. Psalm 131, verse 1 says, "My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haunting. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me." Church, contentment grows out of devotion to Christ and his eternal values. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve both God and money. If you want contentment, put your hope and trust in the Lord, not on the things you possess. Coveting is a barrier to contentment.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Exodus 20:17 says, "You should not covet your neighbor's house. You should not covet your neighbor's wife or his maidservant or his male servant or his maidservant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." You see, one of the problems that we face, church, is this matter of our materialness. We're materialists. We've got to have things. I stop by to tell you it is a barrier to contentment. It is a part of this wellspring of life that we must take control, that the devil will have no play in our lives. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 says, "People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge him into ruin and destruction." Did you hear that? Keep chasing after this kingdom and this material gains. One, you'll never gain them. The Bible says that why do you work for things that perish? We beat ourselves in the ground and we're dying at younger age because we're chasing after the wind. Next thing that I want you to hear is that this young man is in a state of depression. He says, "You can look in my eyes and see. that a great big man like me has been crying my heart and soul out to you, baby. Sitting in my lonely room, filled with nothing but gloom, I feel like dying. Depression will cause you to take your life. Listen at me. Depression can be relieved by patiently meditating on God's word and expecting him to act. Y'all listen at me closely. I have been on the verge of depression, did not know what was going wrong with me. My wife couldn't help me. My children couldn't help me. It was a matter of me turning my life totally over to the Lord. And he did not release me until I had said, and he saw that I was doing that. Listen at me. You and I are not are children of depression. Psalm 42 and 6 says, yet I am standing here depressed and gloomy, but I will meditate upon your kindness to this lovely land where the Jordan River flows and where Mount Hermon and Mount Moriah stands. Prayer is the key to ending depression, church. Solomon, 1 Solomon 1 and 10 says, in bitterness of soul, Hanan wept much, and prayed to the Lord. It is clear that we must come out from our pity party of depression in our lonely room. It is useful to count your blessings in times when you think you're under a depressive attack. Count your blessings. Psalm 107, verse 8 and 9 says, oh, that these men would praise the Lord for his loving kindness and for all of his wonderful deeds. For he satisfies the thirsty soul and fills the hungry soul with good. Praise can also cease depression. Psalm 34, 1 through 3 says, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of his glory and his grace. I will boast all his kindness to me. Let all who are discouraged take heart. Let us praise the Lord together and exalt his name. Did you get it, church? If you praise the Lord, he will take away a multitude of things. If we put our mind on him and give him praise and homage, he will always guide our paths. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Give you another one for this depression. Listen at Christian music. Listen at godly songs, not so much this hip-hop junk and all this other stuff. Psalm 33, 1 and 3 gives us a clue. Let all the joys of the godly well up in praise to the Lord, for it is right to praise him. Play joyous melodies of praise upon the lyric and on the harp. Compose new songs of praise to him. Accomplish skillfully on the harp and sing joyfully. Church, we must change our ways so that they are in line with the scriptures. You know, even in this culture, it tells you that if you have quiet, gentle music playing, you're going to live longer. Did you know that? When you sit now, these kids, God bless them, coming through here with these stereos in these cars, blasting to where it's rattling every window in the house, they have no knowledge, but their blood pressure goes up. Their sugar goes up. All their bodily functions come under attack. Because God did not make us to be loud and boisterous. He made us to be quiet and peaceful and gentle people. Amen. And he knew what he made. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. See, feeling depressed and discouraged doesn't last forever. I say again, feeling depressed and discouraged does not last forever. Proverbs 30 and 5 says, weeping may go on all night, but in the morning, there's joy, I tell you. It's joy in the morning. I have been in my deepest hour and never thought it would end. And in the morning, God let a light shine on me. And I give him praise and honor until the day I leave this plane of his existence. Listen to me. Joy always comes after a storm.
Amen.
And what we have been taught is that even in the midst of a storm, we have to walk through it by faith, upright, knowing that the Father is walking with us. And he also gives us a testimony that we can pass on to others. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Next subject I want to make sure you're clear on is that we cannot fail. Listen, church, don't you think that I'm trying to buy back your love or your friendship, he's telling this young lady. But now I feel I've got the chance to kind of make things up to you a little bit. Enough about you and me, and he goes on to talk about his son. The bottom line of what he's saying is that I've got some money, and I know I'm a failure, but if you give me another chance, I stop by to tell you that failure begets failure begets failure. Children of the Most High, don't fall into the trap of failure. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
We stand firm on the word of God. Psalm 37, 22 and 23 says, the steps of a good man are directed by the Lord. Did you hear that? We don't have failure. We have steps that are directed by God. He delights each step that he takes. If they fall, it isn't final. For the Lord holds them with his hands. Listen at me. All of us might fail at something, but I stop by to tell you that the Father said that he will always pick us up. So if you fall, don't ever think you're down and out. And I need a friend. Even good people sometimes fail. Psalm 34:19 says, the good man does not escape all troubles. He has them too, but the Lord helps him in each and every one. Did you get that? Even though we might walk in ways that are harmful, the Father will take us through each one of them. Don't let failure discourage you, church. That's the mission of failure, is to put you in a state of discouragement. Let me tell you, I have learned, believe it or not, from my online businesses and conference calls, if you think you can't, you can. If you think you can, you can. If you don't think God's way, you can't. You must believe and trust in the Lord that in all ways, if you acknowledge him, he'll do what? He'll direct your path. Don't let anyone tell you anything contrary to that, because this kingdom is always going to tell you that you're a failure. And if you don't watch it, parents will tell children. God rest my father's soul. But he used to tell me, you're not going to be nothing. You can't spell. Listen at me. Do not let man define what God has said. He says, take captive every thought that exhausts itself above what the truth of the word is. And my father says that all of his children's steps are ordered. You dare let somebody tell you you're a failure. None of us are failures in Christ Jesus. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
As I bring this to a close, I want you to understand that this man that was in this lonely room got there by his own mind. He allowed his own thoughts to be thoughts that were contrary to God's will. You see, if he was in love with Christ, he would have never had the suffering that he was going through, because he had lost his love of his life. You see, the first love of our life should be Christ Jesus. Listen at me. Don't put no man or woman or boy or girl above the Christ. A lot of us are in trouble as we go through this life because we do just that. The Bible says, don't please man, please God. Every step you take, every word that you speak, your mission is to be pleasing in his sight. Abba, are you pleased with what I've said and what my thoughts are? And what we do is allow this kingdom to control our ways. And he's told us to come out from this kingdom. So as I bring this to a close this morning, I want you to understand that you have no room to sit in that is not a room filled with God's love, his grace, and his mercy. Don't go in your lonely room. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Don't let your mind wander into a room that you cannot control. Keep your mind stayed on things above where Christ is, where your peace is, and where your hope is. The devil is a liar, is he not?
Amen.
Don't trust yourself to anyone but to the Christ. Sitting in your lonely room. Above all else, guard your heart. In other words, your mind, your emotion, your thoughts, for it is the wellspring of life. I have learned, church, this life is a very short life. It's but a mist. And as you get older, if you don't watch yourself, you'll go in your lonely room and say it's all over. I don't know where life went to. I'm sitting up here and I've got problems. And I wake up and I got pains and I got diabetes and high blood pressure and all day long. Come out of that lonely room, church. If the Lord has woke you up this morning, you have a reasonable portion of your health and your strength. You are blessed.
Amen.
You're blessed. And I implore you that you don't go in this lonely room. We're getting ready to go into this tsunami that I told you about months ago. Right down the corner, this gas that I use, the high test, is tickering and sitting right on $4. It's $3.70. It'll hit $4 before this month's over. And if you don't think that people going into their lonely room, trust me, they are. They're laying off thousands and thousands of people. And you and I must not go into our lonely room, for the Father says he'll never leave us, nor will he forsake us. I don't care what storm you go through, don't go in your lonely room. You go into a room that's filled with joy and happiness and peace. You remember that fellow used to sing that song, said, don't worry, be happy. And all God's children should be happy. We shouldn't be uttering words that are cause one to fail or to be lonely or to be depressed. And don't allow anyone around you in your presence to be in that state.
Amen.
You and I are called by God to take captive those thoughts. And you pick them up with God's word. Can I get a witness?
Amen. Amen.
So as we close, I give God the praise and honor that we who are his people, we are the ones who must watch what we say out of our mouth. You see, keep corrupt talk from your lips and let your eyes look straight ahead. In other words, church, we cannot go in these dark rooms, this lonely room. We must look ahead where God has provided us a light and a pathway.
Amen.
He's got our back, I tell you.
Amen.
Got a neighbor across the street, as I've said before, that his wife hadn't seen a doctor since 1962. And they were, I don't know if they took her toes off, but they were gangrene and set in. And now, he hadn't been out that house, I've never seen her in 7 years I've been living here. But God is good. Now she's got a 24-hour nurse in that house. I don't know how the young lady's bearing up in there because they don't put no lights on in there. And I'm certain there's no TV in there, so she's got to be praying. Or either that, she done gone in her lonely room. But there ain't a light over in that house. So I bring this to a close, and I ask that you study this until you understand it. The last verse 27 says, do not sway to the right or to the left, but keep your feet from evil. Deacon Edison, let us pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Beginning with verse 10.
Did everyone hear that?
No.
Try to get Dickiness.
Okay. If you would turn with me to the book of Philippians, I'll be reading from the Living Bible, beginning with chapter 3, that of verse 10.
When you found it, say amen.
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 Now, I have given up everything else. I have found it to be the only real way, really knowing, know Christ, and to experience the mighty power that brought him back to life again.
Yes.
And to find out what it means to suffer and die.
Well,
with him. So whatever it takes, I will be one who lives in the fresh newness of life of those who are alive.
Man.
Verse 12. I don't mean to say I am perfect. I haven't learned all I should even yet.
Well.
But I keep working towards the day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for.
Amen.
And wants me to be. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word.
Yes.
Church, amen.
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 Amen. If you will get yourselves in a position for communion, I'm very thankful that God has allowed all of us to now be able to take communion, and we're using the same sources. Jordan, when I open it, I open the top first and then the other one. So I'll tell you a little secret. Hit the light paper first. Don't do like I do. Hit the bottom paper, then can't get the top one open. We give God his blessings this morning as we make certain that we don't go into our lonely rooms. Amen.
Amen.
I noticed as I started, Lance was chuckling over there, but I think he got the message now. Yeah, sometimes you got to use secular things to get a point across.
Amen.
Is that loneliness and depression and all these things that we conjure up in our lonely room, which is our mind, that we must turn them away. Amen.
Amen.
Have your Bible turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We now prepare our hearts for communion. I thank God for your presence. I thank God for your obedience and for your love of the church and for the love of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God did not give us the spirit of timidity, but of joy and a sound mind. Amen.
Amen.
Get power, dunamis power. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 17. Yeah, help, Brother Lance.
I need my tabs.
That's right. You can get them. Brother Lance said he needs tabs. What page is it there?
1768 in my Bible.
And see, church, Connie doesn't like the tabs. I love tabs. I can. Yeah, Mimi don't like it. Me, I like tabs. Yeah, I like tabs. Yeah, see, here's what happened. The longer you read the Bible, you really don't need tabs because you can almost put your finger in and you know where the books are.
Amen.
Yeah, so, but we, in the meantime, we'll use tags. And before we start our communion, I do want to mention something before I forget it. I don't know what the name of, what's the name of the bookstore? No. It's the other one.
Christian Life
Bookstore. You might want to check if you got one. We have one here on West Broad at Gaskins. John MacArthur has a Bible commentary. It's a book, I guess, is about, what, 2 inches thick? 3 inches thick?
Three inches
thick. It's on sale for $19.95. It normally sells for $39.95. And for those of you who like footnotes, now you got his commentaries. And they're on sale for $19.95. You can go online to get it. And if anybody needs the website, Connie can provide it to you. It's quite our hearts for our communion. First of all, church, you know that this is one ordinance and one celebration that we have to do. And we don't have to do that. We ain't nowhere in the Bible talking about Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter and all that other stuff. This one you must do. Amen?
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 says, "But I give this instruction. I do not praise you because you come together not for the better but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be a faction among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's supper, for in eating each one takes his own supper first. And one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have homes in which to eat and to drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I praise you? In this I will not praise you. For I receive from the Lord, which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after the supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Lord God, we ask now that you bless this bread and that you bless this wine that symbolizes the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Thank you, and we praise your name. Church, you have to. I was getting ready to say you'll have to bear with me because I changed my page and my bread was stuck in between pages. But God has blessed me. Let us commune together on the body of this broken bread of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Father, we ask for your mercy. We ask for your grace. We pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. After the supper, as I read, he took the cup that symbolizes his blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Let us commune together on the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Father, we ask for your mercy. We ask for your grace. We ask for your kindness and your wisdom and your knowledge. I pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Trustee Reeves, if you would read the offering.
We collected $25 last Sunday, and our total for April so far is $143.
The church say amen.
Amen.
Give God the glory. Let us pray. Father God, we ask now that you bless those who gave, those who had not to give, those who had the spirit to give. We pray that it will be used for the uplifting of your kingdom here on earth. We thank you, Lord God. We pray that you make us good stewards of this offering. We pray in Jesus' name. The church, say in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Well, we've come to the end of another day's journey. I thank God that I was able to get through this sermon and all in 48 minutes.
Amen.
All right, Sister Bree. And we give God the glory for that. Are all minds clear?
Yes.
I pray God's blessing on each one of you that you go today, go in peace, and take the name of Jesus with you. You are dismissed. God bless you all.
Y'all have a nice day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye, God.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Love you.